Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. Well, you know, between the fiscal cliff and sequestration, bemoaning infighting in Washington, D.C. is almost a cliche these days. Getting a bill signed into law just in itself seems like a big win. But, you know, for major legislation like the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act or the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, getting the president's signature doesn't automatically mean the job is done. In fact, not even close. The process to get a big bill moving and get reforms in place is a lot more complicated. It's all about rules. You know them as regulations, but this process is fraught with difficulty, and Haley Sweetland Edwards is an expert. She's an editor and writer at The Washington Monthly, and she infiltrated the shadowy world of rulemaking for her recent article called He Who Makes the Rules. Hi, Haley.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, there is a thing in Washington which we all know about, and I never thought I would have to mention it on the radio, called the Federal Register. It is a horrible, horrible Bible of rules in Washington. Bring us inside the world of rulemaking and what it means to delve into the Federal Register.
Well, there's it sort of came as a surprise to me as well. I thought that rules or that laws were the real battles happened in Congress, and we all kind of witnessed that, and then they were passed or they weren't passed, and that was it. But really what happens is after those laws are passed and after they're in the Federal Register or the Federal Code, they actually get funneled into the agencies, into the rulemaking agencies that break them down into little itty-bitty bite-sized pieces and write rules and regulations about them.
And with a law like, let's say, Dodd-Frank, or what we know as Wall Street Reform, this has been a major, major deal. There are a lot of people complaining, both on the consumer advocacy side and on the banking side, that the rulemaking process has been so cumbersome that that reform law isn't even really working yet.
Exactly. There are 400 rules and regulations, an estimated 400 rules and regulations that are going to come out of that law. And at this point, fewer than half have been finalized. And that law was passed in July 2010, so almost 3 years ago now.
So what does that mean? I mean, what kind of reforms that the public expects that they got in that law when it was debated in Congress haven't even gone into effect yet because there are no rules? Give us some examples, maybe.
Well, basically, all the large chunks of the law have the vocal rule is something that we end up hearing a lot about, and that has yet to be finalized. And there's if you take a rule like that, it's so complex and it's so vaguely written and ambiguous in a lot of ways that each of these individual protections that regulate these giant opaque financial institutions and tools, really you and I wouldn't necessarily know if the regulations, if the rules regulating, say, the swaps, the derivatives market had gone into effect yet. It's not going to necessarily affect your life and mine. It just will make the likelihood of another financial collapse a la 2008 more likely or not.
Well, how democratic is this rulemaking process? I mean, we're talking about bureaucracies like the Treasury Department or Department of Health and Human Services in the case of the Affordable Care Act. When the Senate is debating, we can go to hearings and you can't see the backroom deals, but you can certainly follow the debates. Once it goes into rulemaking, how much say does the public have and how much transparency does the public have to know what's going on, let's say, in some rule writing room at Treasury?
Not a whole lot is the short answer. The whole process is governed by this 1946 law called the Administrative Procedure Act. And the basic idea there sets out this outline that a law is passed, it's shunted off to the agencies. The agencies have to go through this very specific circumscribed process that there are different stages there that enshrine public commentary on them. The only problem is that that whole parts of that rulemaking process actually happen before the public has a chance to comment on the proposed rule. The only people who are really meeting with the agency at that time are people from the industries that are being regulated.
From the industry. So these are essentially lobbyists. We're used to lobbyists roaming the halls of Congress and influencing members of Congress and senators. But this rule writing process is important, and you're suggesting that it's fraught with lobbyists just the same, or is it worse?
Exactly. It's fraught with lobbyists. It's fraught with representatives from different trade groups and all over the financial industry. And it's in some ways worse because they're not dealing with politicians and senators and representatives who are more experienced with lobbyists. They're dealing with everyday bureaucrats, people who got jobs in agencies because they thought that they, you know, would be able to be on the front lines of writing rules, not the front lines of politics.
Haley Sweetland Edwards, before we let you go here, doesn't this all of this murkiness in the rule writing world just kind of provide an out for the politicians? They can write a law that might be popular or unpopular, but if they don't want to make the hard choices and make some bank or some oil company or some lobbyist mad, they can just kind of say, here's the general law. Hey, Treasury Department, you take care of the details.
Absolutely. And that's been a major criticism of several of these laws. But Dodd-Frank, Senator Ted Kaufman, has made that point on several occasions, advocating for what he calls bright line laws, laws that say in the statute itself, you cannot do this, you can do this, which takes the power of the rulemaking process off the table.
And also puts a lot of the responsibility for the results onto members of Congress and the politicians. And that might be the biggest impediment to what Kaufman is talking about there. Haley Sweetland Edwards, editor and writer at the Washington Monthly, deep inside the world of rules in Washington. Thanks, Haley.
Thank you.
Now, a lot of you are talking about the illogical and arcane rules in your own lives, ones that drive you absolutely nuts.
There's a law that school teachers can only use material from broadcast television, even if it's rated G or Y, within 10 days of its broadcast, and is supposed to destroy the recording 45 days after broadcast. That's the dumbest rule.
Hi, this is Matt from Portland, sitting alone at a red light on a deserted street in the dead of night at an intersection with good visibility. Feels very stupid to me. It's a waste of time and fuel.
I don't like that one either. What rules drive you crazy? I'll tell you the rule that drives me the craziest is one that's never followed. I'm saying it wrong. It's actually a rule that I love that nobody follows. Amtrak has a thing called a quiet car. No cell phones, no loud conversations. America, you seem incapable of abiding by this, and it drives this guy absolutely nuts. There's one rule that I love that nobody seems to be able to follow. 877-8-MY-TAKE is our number. There's a lot more that you can find on thetakeaway.org.